tonight's guest, as I said before, is Paola Dizzofacci. Paola Dizzofacci. And she is a dancing piece researcher and facilitator, which we're needing more of in the world, I'm thinking. So it goes a long way. She also teaches peace and conflict studies at the University of Innsbruck in Austria and has a PhD in conflict studies and has also authored a book called Dancing Conflicts, Unfolding Peace. So thank you for that sharing out there as well. And I guess we're gonna just jump right in. Paola will be offering us a movement meditation, and then she'll ask us some questions. And then at the end, you're welcome to put your questions into the Q&A and she will address them at the end. So thank you, Paola.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, Cassie. Thank you, Laura, for the introduction and for the support, for being here in the session with me today and with us. I would also like to thank the Embodiment Conference for organizing this amazing conference. It's a pleasure to be part of it. And thank you, participants, for joining in this discussion on dance and peace and conflict. So as we begin, I would like to invite you to a brief movement practice. It can be moving, it can be sitting, it can be just listening. Feel free to take what suits you in this moment. So as we begin, I invite you to take a deep breath, stretch, and breathe. And sense as you breathe and sit or move, if there is any part of your body that is calling for some attention. Maybe some part that wants to be moved, some part that is saying, hey, I'm here. And as you move or sit, we'll just bring our awareness to different parts of our bodies. So we can begin with the head, finding ways of moving it and sensing its connection to the neck and shoulders and elbows and hands. Bringing attention and awareness to the fingers and sensing its connection back to the chest and hips and legs and knees and feet and sensing as you move or sit, the support of the ground beneath you, the support of the earth. And as we continue inviting some movement to the body, we gently shift our attention to the breath. And sense the air coming in through the nostrils and out. And we sense the movement this breath makes in the belly in the chest. And in your next inhale, see if you can notice this air touching deep down within. The frontiers of your inner body as it comes in and out. And on your next exhale, I invite you to notice this air expanding through space, the space around you. And see if you can put your attention, bring your attention to the air flowing in and the air around. As the air caresses the skin as it moves, with the air that has just been inside of you a moment ago. Now I invite you to sense the earth beneath your feet and the air around and the air inside. And this ground and this air that has been stepped upon and that has been breathed well, by yourself right here, right now, by people around you. By ancestors. By friends. By not so good friends as well. By enemies, and this air around and within that sustain us as we move and step into this earth. Now, with this awareness, I invite you to gently come to stillness. And sense if there is any vibration in any part of the body. And if you have your eyes closed, I invite you to gently let it open. And I invite you to gather in the screen, this space and this portal that has been gathering people from all over the world in this conference. So feel free to take some more deep breaths. Feel free to find a comfortable position as we then engage in this conversation about peace and dance and conflict. As we begin, as we are talking about, when breathing these airs and stepping into this earth, into this planet, I would like to ask you where you are from. Where are you in this moment in the planet? I am a Brazilian native, currently living in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. And I see we have people from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome. Kingston, New York, LA. Bolivia living in Puerto Rico. Bienvenida. Cape Cod, Tapirativa, Brasil. Duda, bem-vinda. Welcome, Buenos Aires, Guatemala. Welcome. It's a great pleasure to join this conversation with you today. And well, talking about peace and conflict. Now, the world nowadays is concerning, right? We have, polarization, extremism, environmental crisis, social injustice, armed conflicts, violence in parts of our communities, climate change. And the challenges for peace and conflict seem unsurmountable. Now, there is a narrative that the sole actors responsible for acting for peace and conflict are governments. And right, that governments are the only ones that have the power to sign peace treaties and to wage wars or resolve conflicts. Now, this is problematic. On the one hand, governments are at least falling short to take this massive endeavor, and it is equivocated. Now, relegating the power to engage in peace and conflict issues solely to governments is depriving human communities and human beings of their potential and power to engage in peace and conflict issues, to face and engage with the challenges of life in a dynamic way. Now, you may ask, okay, so if not governments, who else, right? Who else has the power and the responsibility to join into peace and conflict issues? And well, I would say you have the potential to unfold peace right now. And on top of it, we can dance. Now, isn't that exciting? And one important thing, this doesn't mean letting governments out of the hook or being hopeless about the important role that governments have. What it means is becoming part of the change. Now, you have the potential to unfold peace right now. And when I share this vision, I often receive feedback on that people feel, suspicious or skeptical about this idea. And I think they are right. A lot of damage has been caused in the name of peace. So it's healthy to ask, okay, which peace are you talking about? And whose peace? I wanted to stop wars, and that's why I went to study international relations. And while I was fascinated about the possibilities of intercultural collaboration, I was often frustrated and disheartened by the way wars were approached, that sometimes looked more like a game among countries than real people with all their humanity involved in violence and in war situations. That's why I searched for peace and conflict studies, because I wanted to learn resources that could help me engage in conflict transformation within my reach, right? Within myself, within my community. And in peace and conflict studies, I was encouraged to research something that I had passion for. And dance came naturally. I love to dance. I danced since I was a kid. And I was fortunate to experience different styles. So from folk dances as samba and lambada and forró, to trainings in ballet, contemporary dance, jazz, and then also spontaneous movement and conscious dance, Sufi whirling, and some other practices. Now, these experiences, they have shown me the potential of dance to contribute to peace. I knew, mostly well, with my body and with my intuition, that dance could open that space for peace to unfold. That moment when movement aligns with breath and the heartbeat tunes with the music. And the airs around me connect with everything around and inside. The air touches deep down my inner being and caresses my skin. And then boundaries begin to fade. And everything becomes vibration. So this kind of experiences encouraged me to research dance and peace. And how about you? Do you resonate with this? What kind of practices do you do that you find this experience of peace? I have asked this question to different groups, and I have collected a couple of answers, or many answers. Some people feel it by watching the sunset, or holding hands of a loved person and feeling the warmth of a dear one. I do it by dancing. I see Laura says about like dancing freeform and folkloric dances. And Lalita says chanting mantras and belly dance. Yeah, so there are different ways of experiencing peace. And I think this lived experience and research has shown me then that, well, dance can contribute to peace, but also that there are different experiences of peace and different interpretations of peace. Right? That pieces are plural and there are many. Now, realizing the potential to live pieces asks to revisit the understanding of peace. Now, I'm not talking about a utopic peace defined as with only one definition, a kind of a happy ever after scenario that we can reach if we sacrifice enough and follow predetermined steps. What I'm talking about is more of a peace that is incomplete, imperfect, and imbued with potential, right? A piece that is alive. And then, well, dance, and that also incorporates conflicts into it, that doesn't see conflicts as something opposite to peace, but that incorporates conflicts as in the flow. Right, and that peace can unfold in the very transformation of conflicts. And for approaching this, I would like to introduce three perspectives on peace. Peace as experience, peace as process, and peace as action. So experiences of peace, these ones that we have talked about and mentioned, by dancing, by watching the sunset, with belly dance and with folkloric practices, with mantras, they are available as a potential to unfold within human beings. Now, it requires cultivating a practice, right? Opening up the space for this experience to unfold with intention, with dedication, with discipline, aware of its impacts as well. But then you may say, okay, so we dance and have experiences of peace and it's all? Well, not, well, someone says definitely hiking. Yes, hiking. Not every dance is peaceful. And not every time that I dance, I have this peaceful experience. Sometimes it's just mind chatter. Sometimes dance can be used to promote violence. It has been used in different moments of history to prepare for war. And furthermore, what happens when there are different pieces? When my way of experiencing peace is dancing to loud music, and the way of my loved one is quietly reading a book. Now, once a participant of a workshop shared that her way of experiencing peace was being with her family. And this is how she demonstrated it, like in a hug. And that she understood the fact of her daughter, her teenage daughter, preferring to be alone in her room listening to music. She understood that as a provocation. And she shared that understanding that there are different ways of experiencing peace, she could resignify that one moment in their relationships and understand the behavior of her teenage daughter, not only as a provocation, that could also be, but also as an experience of peace for her. And then she said, well, and that opens new and different ways of engaging with it, right? Of responding to it. And well, furthermore, what happens when my way of experiencing peace is dancing in contact with nature or hiking or meditating in nature in the wilderness and nature is burning? Now, conflicts arise naturally. Conflicts are natural features of human relationships. And they can be caused by dysfunctional relationships, relationships that are not attuned to the changes that the people involved have suffered throughout time and space, and are not authentic and honest to that present moment. It can also be caused by incongruent communication, communication that gets entangled and lost and misinterpreted in the different channels that we have for communicating. Now, the bad news is that conflicts are not necessarily violent, but the bad news is that conflicts tend to violence if they're not addressed. And, well, there is another narrative that says that conflicts are bad, that conflicts need to be, well, terminated, solved, and forgotten, or pretending they don't exist. And that's not helping, right? That's contributing to them not being addressed and not being transformed, and therefore, well, increasing the possibility of violence when they're not addressed in time, throughout time. Now, peace is then, it's peace as an experience often reveals conflicts. And that's where enters peace as a process that includes conflict to unfold peace in the process of transformation. Now, sometimes, you know, when I'm talking about it, I often feel a vibration of like, but conflicts, what conflicts? In modern societies, many of us have learned to pretend they don't exist. I had a conflict. Well, I had many conflicts. I have many conflicts. But this one that I would like to share with you is one that arose out of a situation when I behaved in a way that I was not authentic to myself, that ended up causing harm to myself and to a dear person. And after, well, some time of pretending it wasn't a big deal, pretending it didn't matter, pretending it wasn't the best, after a transformative experience in a sweat lodge, I finally decided to address it. And I did. So I talked to the person that I had harmed, and I asked it for forgiveness. And in dialogue, in the process of transformation, we were able to rewave the fabric of our relationship in healthier, more authentic directions. And then, well, you may say, oh, great, right? You transformed your conflict. It was solved, like signing a small peace treaty and done. Now let's move on. Well, that was not exactly what happened. I had been forgiven, but I had not forgiven myself. And this conflict continued to take a toll and to influence my life in different ways. It, well, influenced my confidence, it influenced my relationship with myself and with others, it influenced in my social perspectives and in the roles that I saw myself taking. So it continued influencing my life in subtle but pernicious ways. And then, well, fast forward 4 years, I am in my first spontaneous dance movement workshop. It was a five rhythms workshop. And I am in this charming city of Katz in Austria and been dancing for a couple of days. And the bright wooden floor was inviting and the curtains fluttering, like inviting us to dance. But that afternoon, the challenge would be bigger because we were invited to dance with shame and guilt. So the situation offered itself for me to engage with this conflict, to engage with the shame that was still ingrained in myself. We were invited to, well, soak our bodies with the context and the sensation, and also bring it to the dance floor and move with it and see what happened. And well, something happened. A lot of tears and sweat and movement and chaos and more tears and more sweat. And well, shame seemed to melt with my sweat and drop onto the dance floor, opening space for compassion to unfold within me and compassion for myself and compassion for others. And I think that's what, this experience has shown me the possibility of dancing with conflicts as a way of unfolding peace as process. Now it invites us seeing conflicts as opportunities. And now here, conflict different from violence, right? Conflict, the signposts that point out when things are not authentic or honest, that asks for us to look at it with more care. Dancing conflicts, then engaging in peace as process, invites to dwell in the messiness of life, engaging with chaos, and redirect these energies into transformation. Because as we move, right, with pain and with feelings, with emotions, with conflicts, we tap into locked pockets of energy, right? Restraint pockets that with movement, with attention, and with this care put in this process can then unfold in form of energy that can be redirected into more auspicious and life-serving ways. And then you may ask, okay, so we dance, we have dance as an experience, we dance and feel peace, we dance with our conflicts, we face our shadows, but is that all? Do we keep that in our bubbles? And I think that's a wonderful and important question. And here's where it comes, peace as action, right? Peace as action then invites to engage with violent structures that we see in our, in ourselves, in our relationships, in our communities and societies, grounded in Pisa's experience. So it gets inspired by the moments of awe that experiences of peace reveal and somehow soaks into daily life. And it also gets its energy, gets fueled by dancing with conflicts, by Pisa's process, to finally let, well, this energy flow into our being, into the streets. And how does it look like? What does it look like, Pisa's action? Well, it can look like as changing harmful habits, our own harmful habits. Looking attentively at where we are perpetrating violence, where we are perpetrating systems of oppression, and shifting them and transforming them. And also where we are just perpetuating these systems and finding healthier and life-serving ways of being and relating in this, in our communities and in this, with this planet. It may also look like as mobilizing for rights, right? Dancing for denouncing gender violence, and also dancing for celebrating life. That is an important part of business action as well. And then we ask, okay, well, so what does dance have to do with it? And here is where I would like, with business action. And here is where I would like to, well, to share a bit the framework of dance, of dancing conflicts, and how, like, how the research has, how I have found through research, like a proposal of a way of organizing this container to sustain these experiences of peace as experience, peace as process, and peace as action. And it begins with anchoring presence, embodiment, and in body and breath. Just a bit of what we did in the beginning. Enlivening senses and centering and finding our ground and connecting with the airs within and around that sometimes unleash us into the vibrant interconnectedness of life. Now, in this process, pain, we may encounter pain, we may encounter feelings that are uncomfortable. And then Pisa's process, dancing with conflicts, invites to befriend these feelings, looking at them with attention and with care, tending for any pain that may arise in the process, listening to what they have to tell us, and also listening where change might be needed, right? Change of repetitive and unhelpful pattern that we might be stuck into, and finding different ways of flowing and moving. Now, dancing with conflicts also may reveal painful memories, emotions that are hard to, that sometimes we have been repressing, suppressing, or pretending we're not there. And we may also encounter suffering and trauma. And dancing, well, with conflicts then invites to witness this movement, sustaining attention to it. And, well, witness and witness, as I learned with Laura earlier on. So being with them and learning from what they have to teach us. What is it that we can learn from this process? And gently moving and carefully paying attention to these emotions, the suffering, and finding ways of moving with them, not out of them or beyond them, but with them in a way that can help us shift perspectives, finding different ways of moving, finding different ways of flowing in interconnected ways. Now, tapping and dancing conflicts and business process reveals this energy that was were concentrated in pockets of pain or locked pockets of energy in our body, and let it ride again through our body, allowing it also to expand to, well, our being in this world, to our relationships and our connections. And, well, dancing conflicts then, unfolding pieces. Well, you have the potential to unfold peace right here, right now. Shall we dance? And with this, I close, well, what I wanted to share with you today. And I would love to hear questions, comments, concerns, disagreements, and, well, anything that you would like to share about peace and dance and conflict. So, yes, thank you very much for your attention, for being here, sharing your presence. And I'm looking forward to hear your comments and experiences and questions.
You need to
please.
Well, I'm blown away. And I think a thing that I keep seeing in this conference is that we need to engage with the dark side. And like what you said about the conflict and peace being an interwoven pattern, or I'm paraphrasing, but I think like within ourselves, that's it, right? We need to touch base with those parts of ourselves that we would like to pretend don't exist, or, you know, the things we're trying to not see, or the war that we're trying to not within ourselves. And so I just found your talk fascinating. And even your story about yourself and dealing with that, where you had that moment in dance to like shift things. Have you had other points in life that were like shifters for you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for the question. You mean points of, conflicts and dancing, and can you tell me a bit more about the question?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like within our lives, sometimes we have real turning points, and it sounded like when you had that moment in the Five Rhythms class where you're like, oh, this thing that I've been carrying, that I've been holding, now I can move it in a different way. Have there been other moments in your life and like the sort of surrounding, this happened, and then suddenly I saw a shift of thinking. That's what I'm asking about. Where are these moments where, I mean, you went to school to study peace and then you start studying something else. So that, I mean, I think it takes this picture of the wholeness pattern, right, that we're engaged in. And can you talk about that at all?
Sure. Thanks. I think what comes to me related to this question right now is, well, are some sharings that I have, because what I shared is a lot about my experience, well, undergoing this, dancing with conflicts. And I have been, well, fortunate also to facilitate some workshops and, well, to hear and witness participants sharing about their experiences. And for me, this has been so inspiring and life-giving. I think there are some sayings that I keep bringing, that keep inspiring me. And I think one is, well, facilitating this, particularly the first part of it regarding breath and the connection, when, well, one participant shared that she felt, well, she was practicing in a place where her ancestors have lived for a long time. And in, well, connecting the breath with the airs around, she felt their presence with her in that space, and also the presence of the indigenous people that have also been there. And how, well, her family being a settler in the region, and, well, also honoring the ancestry and the ancestry and the indigenous populations that have been there through the air that we breathe was meaningful to her. And I think that's something that I have incorporated in the framework, because it just feels so enlivening. And I also had another participant sharing that breathing and noticing this interconnectedness through breath helped him see the connection among different people that are often seen as enemies. So he was thinking about the conflict between, well, Israel and Palestine, for example, and that even if there is a wall separating and you cannot engage with the people from the other side, you're still breathing the same air, and there is a connection there that can be, well, somehow tapped into and that can inspire a way of living that is more connected and that is more life-serving. I can tell more stories, but I don't know if there is any other question that, otherwise I will lose myself telling stories.
The questions have come in through the chat rather than the Q&A. Oh, there is a Q&A, but we'll address perhaps this first. Let's see. Someone else was curious to hear more about your thoughts on cultural and societal conflict between people.
Thanks. That's a challenge. And I think it is a challenge that involves all of us and that invites all of us to engage with it. And I think that's why I found helpful this idea of peace as experience, as process, and as action. Because often when we think of peace and conflict issues, the work that is done in international relations is very concentrated on governments and on high level negotiations that are often quite a way of reach. And I think this idea of, well, bringing peace, seeing peace as plural and as many, help us see, well, that there are different interpretations of peace. And it doesn't mean that someone is necessarily for violence, but that might be an interpretation of peace that has consequences. So I think it also helps us to engage from a more compassionate understanding of the different ways of existing in this world and thriving in this world and the different strategies that derives from these interpretations of the systems around us. Now, knowing that these strategies also have consequences, right? And sometimes in the best intention of contributing to peace, I may be perpetuating violence. And I have been learning a lot from, gender studies and anti-racism movements on how to look at the ways I myself perpetuate racism and misogyny and homophobia, and learning to shift them, like not getting lost in the fear of, or in the judgment or in the shame of being entangled in the systems. But also looking at them allows us, I think, to find ways of transformation, to find ways of acting where we stand, right? Well, working with the broader system, so engaging with voting, casting an informed vote is also, a way that peace as action may look like. Accompanying governments, but also looking at myself and my relationships, how these world systems get perpetuated, and shift them in the way I live, in the way I relate. And I think it's all combined and interwoven, right? And small changes also contribute to changes in the world. If we take change as continuous movement or transformation, even the breath we take in and out transforms, even if infinitesimally, the environment around us. So it's, I think, bringing intention to that, to the experiences of peace, celebrating life and celebrating this interconnectedness and this, well, beautiful opportunity of being alive in this planet right now. And also looking at, well, the ways, the shadows, the ways we perpetuate violent discourses and shifting them. And while using that energy into life-serving action. And that doesn't mean that saying, well, peace as action, that, well, in mobilizing for a certain topic is peace as action, doesn't mean not being attentive to ways that this can be violent to other people, right? It means it is a continuous process of, well, celebrating life, looking at pain, looking at suffering, looking at our shadows and transforming them and acting for a transformation in a broader level. And I like peace as its experience, a process and action are, well, they are pedagogical ways of looking at the complexity of peace and conflict and life, but they are actually, well, intertwined, right? It's not that they're completely separated, but it is a process. And I think the challenge is, well, how can we find experiences of peace in our mobilizing and in our professions? And how can, well, the process, this, what we, well, all this effort that we dedicate to have, well, greater self-knowledge and embody, right, with more intention, how can that also translate into our communities? So yeah, I think this movement, right? And yeah, maybe we have time for more questions. Yeah, I think so.
So there's a question here, which I hope will address the one that's in the Q&A as well, but do you have any advice how we can bring dance to precise political action on a government level, which is someone else is speaking to how to use it as activism. So they sort of go hand in hand, activism and on a political governmental level.
Yeah, well, I think there are different ways of doing it, and it, well, it unfolds from where each of us stand, right? So there, if we think, for example, Augusto Boal from Theater of the Oppressed once facilitated a session of theater and image making with diplomats. So that was one way of engaging with it. Recently in Latin America, there has been a movement that used, well, dance and mobilizing and protesting for calling attention for gender-based violence. And I think, like, there are different and inspiring examples from different parts of the world. And I think the most transformative ones are those that are grounded into the experiences of the people participating, right? It is getting to know, well, what is there, what is available, and what touches people in a way that can be, that this energy can be redirected into, well, mobilizing and into denouncing violation. I think there is also like the 1 billion rising, the movement that has been also in different parts of the world. And sometimes, like my current research project explores, well, how samba has been related to perspectives of peace and conflict in Brazil and how it has been used in different moments as a way of, well, subjective identity and experience and communal gathering and resistance, and how nowadays people are, well, tapping into it to, well, find and thrive in polarization, in the polarization environment that is there in Brazil. So I think there are like many inspiring examples throughout the world and in different communities that we can look at and that can give ideas and inspire us to use well dance as dance as performance, right, as a way of communicating a message. And it can also be used well in our own practice, informing the ways we engage and helping us ground and unfold to do the peace actions in our jobs, with our family, in our communities, in the place that we live. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to go dancing all around, although that's a beautiful and captivating image. But that dance can also provide this grounding and expansion to bring, to unfold peace in the different places that we already inhabit.
So let's see. Thank you. Do you find distinct movement qualities when you find peace in dance versus dancing with conflict? Do you find distinct movement qualities when you find peace in dance versus dancing with conflict?
That's an interesting question. Yes. So I think dance as when I access the experience of peace through dancing, it can be through a slow moving stillness. It can also be in the middle of carnival with hundreds of people jumping together to the sound of music and celebrating life and being alive. So it has different textures depending on which kind of peace it is being experienced. But I think in my experience, it often have a lot to do with connection, right? With feeling myself and other people and other beings. It often unleashes me from an individualized focus on problems to the vibrant web of life. And now dancing with conflicts often involves a lot of tears, often a lot of sweat. Sometimes it's just quietly laying down on the floor, right, opening space for being and witnessing the suffering that is present. Sometimes it's also just carrying attention to a part of my body that hurts, where pain is present. And what I find fascinating about these different experiences of peace and dancing with conflict is that as the practice is cultivated, it allows for a peaceful sustenance of the dancing with conflicts and with suffering. So it may sound very contradictory, but those times when, you're dead, trying to understand the suffering that is around, and at the same time that this knowledge kicks in about the suffering, the body knowledge, the intuitive knowledge, the rational knowledge, as this all these knowledges align, suffering might still be there, but there is also an uplifting, compassionate vibration that that waves with it and that somehow unleashes me back into the interconnectedness of life that involves suffering and involving pain as well.
That was a beautiful finish. Thank you so much, Paola. That was really extraordinary. And I suspect it'll take a few moments for us to ingest all that was shared. And just be aware that you are welcome to watch this video for the next 48 hours. And that during the span of the conference, the price is 50% off. And after that, you can have the entire library. There's gonna be so much material moving through. It would be just a good investment to have lots of time and space to take it all in. So I hope that you'll make that investment in yourself, and the brain and body gets to absorb all of that. So take advantage of that. And we look forward to seeing you in the next chapters of our evolutionary dance. Have a great night, everyone.
And I'm going to throw in 1 second. If you have a one sentence embodiment tip, what is it?
I think time has come to stop waging wars on our bodies and letting the peace that is within to unfold, right? Allowing us to feel home and adventure in our bodies and embody it.
Thank you so much. I have to close it out so we're on time. You have been wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for holding this space.